Hi, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Curious K podcast. And if you're joining us for the first time, Curious K podcast is an amazing show where I have conversation with amazing startup founders, ecosystem builders, and people working to make entrepreneurship thrive on the African continent. And as you know, I'm used to asking all the questions, but this episode is going to be on the flip side. I will be answering all the questions. And it's worthy of note to say that this episode is sponsored by FCNB, that's First City Monument Bank, one of the biggest bank in Nigeria. And joining us today on the show is Lawal Abiodun, and we will be interviewed by Murakinyo Fakunle, also from FCNB. So it's great to guys. It's great to have you guys on the show. So I'm just going to hand the mic over to to you, Murakinyo.
Thank you very, very much. Good to be on your show, Curious K. I wonder how it is, you know, flipping the script that you are now the interviewee instead of the interviewer. But it's okay. Thank you for giving us it today. Thank you so much, Kolapo, for handing the mic over. It's good to be on your show. Welcome to Curious K, everyone. And today I'll be the host. On today's episode of Curious K, I'll be interviewing Kate, the founder of Curious K himself, and also the business partner at Vertebra Tech Hub, Kolapo Ogunbile. Also on the show is the head tech ecosystem and venture sourcing for FCNB, Abiodun Lawal. So I'll be interviewing these two tech giants today.
Thank you so much, Murakinyo. It's a pleasure to be here, everyone. And this is Abiodun Lawal.
Yeah, and it's good to be here. My name is Kolapo Ogunbile, as you guys know. I'm looking forward to an exciting conversation.
All right. Thank you so much, Abiodun, and thank you so much, Kolapo. Let's just get right into it. Kolapo, the first question of the day is for you. Do you remember how you got into tech? Can you kindly share with us?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always a pleasure to tell this story. And it's funny because in the university, I studied geology, right? At a point, during my finals, I have this lecturer that I think visited the Obajano cement factory owned by Dangote. And he came back to the class and he was just very excited. If you go to this factory, the technology, it was just, you know, singing praises of Dangote. And I think we're doing something around limestone. As a geologist, you know, you have to study sediment rocks and all that. And I was thinking in the corner of the class, this man is not a geologist though. This man is just a businessman, you know, and he's doing this amazing project, is building this amazing company. So I think that really got me thinking, and I have a very close friend that I shared this with, and we had to think about this over and over. I think that was just like a light bulb in terms of building something or the opportunity I can explore, you know, outside of the university. So we did one or two businesses then, and luckily for us, we started like an audiobook project just before we left the university. The idea for us was just to make learning easy for us, and we wanted to achieve that through audio. So that's how we started for us. We started researching, we discovered what is called TTS, text-to-speech technology, you know, and we started discovering what is incubator, what is accelerator. We started reading about all of these. And I think that was just my pathway to getting into technology. And the audiobook idea led to two companies I started. One is like an edtech company. The goal of that company is to provide assistive technology for people living with disability, which is a spin-off of trying to understand the power of audio. I mean, there are a lot of visually impaired people, you know, that needs audio or that can learn using audio. And apart from that, we discovered that, there are also upward mobile professionals, you know, that can use audio books to learn. All right, so that's a journey for me. And we got into an incubator program, PI called PI Passion Incubator. I think that was 2014 or thereabout. you know, and that was my journey into technology. Hopefully I'll share more in the course of the conversation.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, that's even a nice lead into the next question for you, actually. So there are quite a number of platforms to learn about tech entrepreneurship in Nigeria and maybe Africa at large. Why did you start Curious K Podcast, and what problems were you trying to solve? What had the impacts you've achieved so far?
All right, essentially, I started Curious K to help bridge the gap between the tech entrepreneurship community and the wider audience. You know, if you say you're in tech is like a mystery to people. People don't really understand what you're doing, you know. So the essence of that is just to demystify that. And after working on like the audiobook project I mentioned earlier, at a point, I started working with startups. There was a time I was in Southeast Nigeria working on an incubator program, came back to Lagos. And I've been working with quite a number of founders, you know, over the years. There was a time in 2018 that I led some founders to Helsinki for a Slush Global Impact Accelerator program and organized quite a number of programs. And I realized at a point, I mean, there are so many things I repeat in my engagement with founders. So I was just thinking, okay, what can I do? Is there a platform? Is there a way I can just curate some of this knowledge I've been able to acquire over the years and also bring in other people that I experienced that can share insight into the story of building something innovative in Africa. So that led me to thinking that, okay, I mean, it's important for me to create a platform where there can be stories, there can be insight shared into stories of successful founders and even people that have failed, which we don't really like to talk about in this part of the world. But ultimately, part of the goal is to inspire others to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams. And for me, just to be able to curate some of the things I've learned and to be able to bring other people just to share ideas, insights, and to help the ecosystem grow. And in terms of the feedback, it's been positive. I mean, last year I won the Tech Bro of the Year. It was, I mean, as a result of this podcast. When I got the nomination, I thought it was maybe for some of the work I was doing. But when I read through it, I actually saw, you know, it's a Curious K podcast. So the feedback has been amazing. I'm happy that it's been able to contribute to the growth and development of tech entrepreneurship ecosystem in Nigeria. So far, I've had like over 40 episodes, interviewed like 26 startup founders, over 8 startup enablers, and quite a number of VCs being on the show, and it's really been amazing.
So if you were to describe these founders that you have interviewed, all of them in one word, what would it be and why?
In one word, I'll say determined. Because it's a typical story, that I've shared on the podcast, or a startup founder I've interviewed is a founder in Tanzania, Winola. So in 2015, for example, when I was working on my audiobook project, I was part of some founders or startup founders that went to Helsinki for a global impact accelerator program. And that was where I met Winola, lives in Tanzania. And it was building something else. So Winola then was building like an audio platform where people can have conversations, something like Twitter for audio, so to say. But yes, down the line, Winola is building a fintech startup in Tanzania. And part of one of the key things in the conversation was that, I mean, if he knew, you know, what he knew now, while he was building the other startup, he would have done things differently. So I see a lot of determination, you know, in these founders, because the challenges Nigeria and other African founders face is unique in building and scaling their startup. But I realized that they always push forward to find creative solutions. They're resilient and their story is is truly inspiring. And they are not afraid to pivot if they have to.
If I hear you correctly, what you're saying is ideas to turn into companies, you know, making one small idea that, you know, those small ideas you get and turning them into these big corporations, you know, having customers, revenue, all those things, you know, making them a whole. All these things, what it takes for a founder to do that, to accomplish that, is the resilience. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's part of it. You know, it's a combination, hard work, perseverance, which you can of course interchange with resilience. And it's also important to know that you need to have the right network and resources when you're building. And founders also need to understand that they should be willing to experiment. It's not necessarily the first idea or the first business you're working on that will be successful. You have to be willing to pivot. You have to be willing to learn quickly. Because you might be thinking, oh, this is like an Eureka moment. I have an idea that's going to change the world. But when you get into it, when you're about to execute, the markets might tell you a different story. You know, the markets might not really need what you're trying to build. So you just have to be persistent. Hard work is very critical because it startups might find, it might sound, you know, sexy and all that, but it's a lot of hard work. And if you think you're going there to just make a lot of money quickly, I'm sorry to say you've chosen the wrong path to do that.
That's fine. So with all that being said, so what do you think it will take for a startup in Nigeria, in Africa, to be successful?
Yeah, like I mentioned, it requires a whole lot of things. But fundamentally, I think it's important to have a deep understanding of the local market, of the customer needs. Who are you building for? Are you solving? What pain are you solving? All right. I think it's important to have that clarity. And founders also need to be innovative. Yeah, you have to be able to adapt to changes quickly. And like I mentioned, a strong network is very critical. When I was building my first startup, the first check we raised was from the network of that incubator, who was a mentor on like the incubation program. And he gave us our first check then, which was like, was it 15K? So I think the importance of network cannot be overemphasized when trying to build so that you can assess, you know, mentorship, funding, which they are all crucial or critical components for success when you're trying to build. But like I said, fundamentally, it's important to have a deep understanding of the market. Who are you building for? What problem are you solving?
With everything you said now, that means there are no laid down process. There are no like, oh, this is what I have to follow for me to be successful. Are there, or there is none? You just have to rough it.
Yeah, you know, the startup ecosystem in Africa or Nigeria is still relatively young. Even in advanced economy like Silicon Valley or the US, I mean, there are some things, processes you can follow, but for Africa, there are no set of formula for success. Founders just need to be willing to experiment and learn from the failures of others in order to succeed. And I think that's just very important. You must put your ears down to learn and be able to move very fast. I think following that will guide you in your path to building something that the market really needs. And with the right network and relationship, you'll be able to attract the right investors or mentors that you need that can help you grow or to be successful.
Okay, so bringing it on more to Nigeria, you know what the state of the economy is, inflation here, regulation, irregularities, you know, things that make it difficult to build a startup in the country. So what would be the recipe for a startup, a young startup? How can they make it?
All right. I mean, looking at the Nigerian economy, this is part of what I mentioned in having a deep understanding of the local market is very, very critical. And being flexible and being adaptable to your business model. They used to say Nigerian likes free things. So if you want them to pay for a product, for example, what business model are you going to use? Are you going to start with freemium and at the point you convert them? Now it's important for you to also make a commitment to innovation and growth. These are some of the things you have to have at the back of your mind when you're building in Nigeria. And when it's time for fundraising, it's important to have the right network. I mean, like I say, VCs only invest in people that they know. So the question is, if you're fresh out of university that you're building something, how do you get into those networks, even if you want to raise? Who is your co-founder? What kind of complementary experience do you have prior to starting this business or this startup? So these are some of the ingredients you have to mix together. A strong network of support is also, it cannot be overemphasized when building, because it can be a lonely journey at a point. And the question is, do you have the right network of support that can help you through that? So mixing all that puts you on the right path to building something really amazing, even if you're in Nigeria, Botswana, Kenya, or any other part of Africa.
So talking of support now, you know how important funding is, especially for startups that want to grow very fast and very quickly. How should early stage startups approach funding? What must they do to raise funding from the numerous VCs, angel groups, and you know the syndicates we have now? What must they do?
All right. So raising funding is kind of like a chicken and an egg problem, right? Because if you go out to raise money, they will ask you, as an early stage business, you'll be asked, what is your traction? And for you to be able to get traction, you need money to achieve that. So how do you push this? So essentially, if you are still a very early stage startup, what you can do is to consider participating in maybe accelerator programs or incubator programs to gain mentorship and access to other resources. Some of these incubators and accelerators even have some investors in their network that they can introduce you to. So if you're starting out fresh, you can consider that part. While you're in that community, you can leverage some of the resources they have. I know some hubs have like so many tech infrastructure you can leverage on when you're trying to build, like AWS. I think LSCTF is providing workspace vouchers. There's MongoDB, Zoho. There are a lot of tools that you can leverage and you can use to demonstrate traction, you know, because it's once you have this traction, then investors will be interested to invest in your business. The first part would be for you to get maybe friends and family investment, but for you to get institutional funding, it's important for you to be able to demonstrate that and have that strong network. But getting into programs, incubator accelerator program is a good pathway for you to position for funding as a startup, a very early stage.
So it's safe to say that it is very, very important to have a support system when you're building a startup.
Absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to direct my next question to both Abiodu and Kolapo, both of you. Founders need all the support they can get to build successful startups, all right? How can corporate organizations, especially financial institutions, you know, more or less, I think this question will be more to Abiodu. How can corporate organizations, especially financial institutions, support founders in their journey, you know? What can corporate institutions like FCMB do in this situation? Abiodu, you can take the lead.
Okay, thanks a lot. I've really, you know, been learning from Kolapo. The answers to his questions are very skillful and true. But to the question, right, I believe that corporate organizations can do a lot in supporting startups. And you know, within the startup ecosystem, as it were, when we're talking about, let's say, incubators, accelerators, etc., one critical player that is not always mentioned, as it were, but their role is extremely important within the space, are corporate organizations, because they have structure, they have the market. If an institution or a startup, rather, is incubated within or plugged into a commercial or or financial institution or a corporate organization, then the probability that they would grow and scale and, you know, in turn become even a corporate organization themselves is very high, right? Take, for example, FCMB as at one time supported what was once a startup called Babangona many, many years ago. And the company that was supported, which was Babangona at the time, was a company that was not even valued much, as it were. You know, FCMB supported with access to capital, access to market. And of course, Babangona now is a billion, you know, of Naira company now. They are into multi-billion already. And this they achieved within the space of about 10 to 15 years. And they've been very, you know, they've enjoyed a fantastic relationship with the bank. I mean, more recent years, FCMB has also supported CryptoCash with access to capital and access to market. And the company is valued, you know, at some really good, you know, amounts that I may not want to disclose on the podcast, right? But we've seen it play out that when corporate organizations incubate and give their resources, their markets, their capital to startups, these startups can grow exponentially. So yeah, we do have a role to play.
You know that FCMB as an institution would, and every other corporate organization would like to deal with credible people and startups in their dealings because, you know, they are in their sector, they are highly regulated and credibility is one of their currencies. And for them to play in the space for startups organization, they need to work with credible startup organizations. So how do startup businesses, how can they establish credibility so that partnership with such corporate organizations like FCMB can be a reality for them, can be a commonplace?
Thank you, Murakia, for that. So I think the first thing, it's important to have a team with the relevant skills and experience. I think that opens the door when it comes to credibility. I mean, what experience do you have or are you bringing to the table? Who do you have in your team makeup? How many years of experience do they have in that market you're trying to get into? I think that's one. Another one is maybe if you have existing partnership with other organizations, that will also show a sign of you being credible in what you're doing. And most importantly, evidence of traction or customer testimonials. If you can have a pathway to maybe show revenue growth or some interesting partnerships that you've had, you know, over the months that you started, I think those are some of the things that you can put together and show you as a credible startup. And most importantly, focusing on delivering quality product or service to your customers cannot be overemphasized. And another thing is transparency or ethical business practices. This is also important. We had stories of founders and, you know, being toxic and all that, you know, so it's also important to have this ethical business practice, you know, foster transparency in your dealings and have that social proof or credibility. I think having all this together will position you better or establish you as a credible startup, you know, that maybe banks like FCMB will be excited to partner with.
That brings the next question to you, Abiodun. As a player in the industry, and your role being one who provide financial support and other form of support to startups in the industry, what in the next 5 years, what do you see happens in the tech industry, and what is FCMB using you as a case study? What are you doing about this?
Okay, that's a fantastic question. That's a conversation that is happening already, you know, within the organization. We're trying to, you know, of course, as any right-thinking organization preempts the expected turn or tide of event within the next few years. And one of the things that we're already seeing is that, you know, there is a downturn in investment coming into Africa, right? And that means that there's an opportunity, there's a gap for local players to really get into it and do it right, you know, because corporates know how the terrain works. They've managed to survive years and years of policy change, recession, etc. So I believe that one of the things that will be happening within the next few years is that startups and corporate relationship would have to be strengthened, because if there's no funding coming from outside as much as before, and the corporates are all, the startups are looking to, you know, stay in business, then one of the places that they can turn to would be corporates. They can latch onto corporates to get a lot of support. And not all, all corporates are looking to cannibalize. And that's something that is important for the ecosystem to know, because some corporates are actually very open to a win-win situation and we're not looking to cannibalize. So for us, we think that the tech industry is up to something interesting. We think that the financial turn or the financial tide, we've seen cut in valuations from different organizations, you know, cutting down their valuations. We think that all of that, setting corporates kind of to succor all of that impact for startups working within Nigeria and Africa over the next few years, I believe that there will be some locally sourced funding that could go into some of these businesses. And that's on one side, on the financial side. Another thing that we think is going to be very interesting is the wave of generative AI that we're seeing, you know, coming in from ChatGPT to the text to video platforms, to the voice recognition softwares, etc. We think that Africa has a fantastic opportunity to build using the infrastructure of the fourth industrial revolution. So what I mean by that is Africa has missed out on the infrastructure of the train of the first industrial revolution, the iron infrastructure, the second industrial revolution, etc. But now there is so much talent, you know, in Africa, and then we're able to build straight using, you know, AI, blockchain, and some of these very recent, you know, fourth industrial revolution infrastructures. And so Africa would see a rise in amazing startups that will compete globally, because we are building things that are using the, you know, the technology of the day. We are building things that are using cutting edge technology. And we think that those technology would be very attractive to, you know, an organization like FCMB. And FCMB is preparing to onboard, you know, and bank and give access to market. And, you know, well, we have a fantastic beyond banking and open banking strategy that allows for almost any organization doing embedded finance to plug into the bank's infrastructure through our banking as a service platform, in where you can get a whole load of API, etc. Right. So there's a lot that we're doing to prepare for that technology shift. So I think that's just an overview of two broad areas, that's finance and technology, that we're looking at as part of what's going to happen, or that's what's going to shift the tech ecosystem forward, as it were, over the next 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abiodun. My last question to you, Kolapo, before we leave, what would your recommendation and advice to first-time founders and experienced founders out there listening now? What would be your advice to them?
Right, Morakio. So for first-time founders, what I would like to say is research your market thoroughly. Research your market thoroughly. You have to understand the market you're going into. And while doing that, validate your idea, validate it, and build a strong team. And don't forget to seek mentorship and also learn from failures. You don't have to make all the mistakes. You can read about failures. I think there is this platform I came across. I can't remember it right now. But what the platform focuses on is just to tell the stories of failed startups across different industries. You can learn a lot from that, you know, while you're building, and you know, that will help you avoid some mistakes. And for experienced founders, I would say stay flexible. I mean, be open to new ideas. It's important to continually innovate while you're building. Things move very fast. Biodun was just talking about ChatGPT, this AI that is, you know, set to transform a lot of industries, all right? So irrespective of the industries you're building, you know, I'm sure the OpenAI, they have quite a number of APIs that startups can use. There are other platforms like that. How can you leverage on some of these technologies? So continuous innovation is critical, and focus on delivering value to your customers. Don't get big to a point where you feel you won't respect your customers. I mean, you have to treat them well. Amazing. So whatever you build, if you pivot, I mean, irrespective of what you sell, your customers will always want to come to you because they know you deliver value to them. And like I mentioned earlier, it's important to also maintain strong relationship with your employees, with your stakeholders, with your investors. It's important to treat your employees very well, because ultimately they will be the one interfacing with your customers. All right, so you can't put all the focus on your customers and not taking care of your employees. I'm sure you've probably experienced going to some of these restaurants and you just see the barman or the bar girl just looking vexing, just annoyed. We don't want to answer you. We don't, you know, probably his boss has just lashed at him in a very terrible way and he's pushing it all on you. You know, so maintaining that strong relationship with your employees is very important. All right, as you build. So passion is important, being persistent is also good, you know. And most important thing, don't be afraid to pivot if necessary. You know, there are billion-dollar companies that pivot entirely, you know, to another industry. So innovate, be open to learn as you build. That will be all for me.
Thank you so much, Curious K. So my last question is actually for you, the listeners. I'm asking Abiodun this question on your behalf, because it is important, you know, what will a podcast as interesting as this be without you having questions as relating that really, really helps you. So, Abiodun, for our listeners, how can startups looking for access to funding, my emphasis on funding and infrastructure support, or even markets, how can they get that from FCMB? How can they reach you or get some of those things and have access to some of the things I just mentioned?
Okay, fantastic. Thanks a lot, Mark, and Panapol. So for startups looking to work with FCMB, we have quite a lot of platforms you can use to connect with us. I'll just give a few. Number one, you can send me an email directly at abiodun.lawal@fcmb.com. Number one.
Please repeat the email one more time.
Okay. abiodun@fcmb.com. That's a good place to reach out to us. Number two, you can go to our landing page on the FCMB website by going to www.fcmb.com/hub1. That's HUB-ONE, hub-1, that's hub1. And on that landing page, there's a contact form where you can give us information to request for access to market, choose the sector that you're working in, send us your pitch deck, and we're very happy to work with you. And finally, you may want to visit us physically. We have a co-working space in the Art of Yaba at number 10 Hughes Avenue off about Macaulay Way, Yaba, Lagos. That is Hughes, number 10 Hughes Avenue, H-U-G-H-E-S Avenue, that's Hughes Avenue, off about Macaulay's Way, Yaba, Lagos. And of course, you can also reach out to Kalapo Kuriosuke, and he will be very glad to connect you to the bank. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kalapo. Thank you, Kalapo, how does it feel being the interviewee on your own show? How does it feel?
Wow. You know, like I said, I'm used to asking the questions. I think this is really exciting, right? Because I think I've been able to talk about things, you know, I've probably not mentioned since I started the podcast. So I believe the listeners, we try to get a perspective, the other side of me, which I think is interesting. So it's really been an amazing conversation. I really enjoyed it, Morakia. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Abiodun, any word before we go?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the site that Olapo was referring to earlier, where if you want to read about startups that has failed, it's called failory.com. That's fail.
O-R-I. Yeah, that's right.
Failory.com, right? You can look up that there. And for those who are also, I just wanted to also say, for those who are developers and are looking to plug into CMB's developers portal directly, you can also Google FCMB developer portal, and it will lead you to our developer portal where you can play with some of our APIs. But the URL, just to go directly to it, is www.devportal.fcmb.com. Dev portal being DEV portal. FCMB.com. That's our API sandbox where you can experiment and see the list of APIs that we have. So finally, again, www.devportal.fcmb.com. That's devportal.fcmb.com. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mariah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. It's a privilege being your host on another person's show. Thank you so much, and do have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.